Can we, let's try this. How about, this is, well, welcome to the juniors and the seniors retreat. How about let's do this. For this song, how about the juniors? Where are you, juniors? Can you stand up? Okay, welcome. This is your first time, right? This is going to be a wonderful weekend. How about you all stay standing and let's sing verse 2, okay? And then after the juniors sing, then the seniors, the rest of you, you could sing stanza 3, okay? And I hope, you know, there's songs that we have that really help us in our turning of our heart Amen. To the Lord. This is one of them, right? You know, all spiritual experiences actually begin with the turning of the heart. Amen. And I think some of you, you know the parable of the sower, right? You know, sowing seeds. You know, those seeds, you could say, are the words of life. And it's very interesting, right? In that parable, the seeds fall into different conditions of the heart. And I think many of you heard this parable already. We want to be what? The soft, right? The good earth, Amen. Right? We don't want to be the hardened heart. We don't even want to have the heart with the rocks and the thorns, right? So as we're singing this, you know, it doesn't matter what happened today, this week. I know you all started school. Actually, I just feel like, wait, you guys, this is like your summer school, the truth, like seating arrangement, right? Literally. I think this. Anyway, I just, you know, flashback, summer school, the truth. We were all here. We were enjoying the Lord, loving the Lord together. And then a month went by, right? So I don't know all of our conditions. But you know what? You can forget all about that. Ezekiel 36:26 tells us, He has given us, and you need to claim this, that promise. I have a new heart. Amen. How about you declare that? I have a new heart. I have a new spirit.
I have a new spirit.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
This is the word of God. But we could sing this into reality. Amen. How about that? So juniors, you sing stanza 2 prayerfully. I think you know what I mean. Right, just forget the things, apply the blood, have a conversation with the Lord as you're singing it, and then you sit down, and then the seniors standing, stanza 3. And I'm thinking after, because the seniors are special, right? This is the last year for them. After you sing, how about some of you take the lead to pray, right, on behalf of us all for this weekend, okay? So stanza 2, the juniors.
Oh,
Some of you could pray for the seniors.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Here is more.
Amen.
Bring us back to you.
Amen.
Grow us more this weekend.
Amen.
Well, Lord, we want to give ourselves to you this weekend.
Amen.
Let us return back to you.
Amen.
Just heal us.
Amen.
It's such a privilege to give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we love you. Turn to you this weekend.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, just open the door for us.
Amen.
Lord, our lives, our future are all for you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Turn our hearts to you.
Amen.
Your love constrains me to give my all to you.
Amen.
Lord, we open to you.
Amen.
We want to love you more.
Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, again, welcome to the 2024. You know, it's been 25 years. This time started in 1999. 25 years. I was thinking about this on the way up, that we've had this juniors and seniors retreat with our high school 11th and 12th grade brothers and sisters. This is a very special time. Of course, with just, you know, you all in mind. And I would even say this, I think this fellowship originated from your class in the sense that it was the juniors and seniors in the churches in the Northeast that wanted to have this time together because they were facing some things ahead of them. I think some of these things will talk about over the course of the next 48 hours. And with those considerations in mind, they had a desire to seek fellowship. Actually, fellowship is a word that you will hear a lot this weekend. Fellowship. What is fellowship? Maybe we will define it. You'll have a better understanding and more appreciation of what fellowship is. And so this is kind of the backdrop to the burden of this time. Now, of course, we realize that your life is entering into a transition. After you graduate from high school, however the Lord will lead, some of you will enroll in college, university. Some of you will go, maybe be enrolled in a trade school. Some have considered like military. However, right, the Lord will lead you. You can say this is a very important juncture in your human life. You will be making some decisions, actually, important decisions with ramifications, like consequences. And it's, you know, it's quite serious. And I think it's with that realization that, you know, the juniors and seniors, when they're facing this, they're like, oh, I need help, right? It's like, I remember when we were passing through this time, it's like, we become so desperate to pray, right? Oh, I need to read the Bible more. I need to go to more meetings. I need to have more fellowship, right? Because we're facing this right ahead of us. I could tell you that there is many helps that we have in the body of Christ, in the church life. One is, of course, the fellowship, right? I think even in this weekend, in this gathering, We have some college students here who just recently passed through this, right? And then some other young working saints, and then some of us, not young anymore, but, and, you know, we've had certain experiences that I think were very helpful to us and can be very helpful to you. And then, of course, the Bible, you know, to know God's will, actually, we need the Word of God. And we'll come to this in the outline very soon. But all of this, I think, is just to equip you, right, when you're facing such a decision. Brother Dennis is not here with us tonight, but, you know, if he were here, he always shared this. I really appreciated this perspective. You know, after high school, you're making these important decisions. And you can't say this is the most important decision. And he would say that the most important decision is probably the person that you marry, right? Because you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life, right? If you choose the wrong school or even the wrong major, and eventually down the road you realize, oh, this is probably not for me. You know, you could switch, right? You could make a midlife career switch. Yeah, they have these things. But you cannot switch who you marry, right? And so I always appreciated his example. So what does that mean? That means we better learn, right, how to make decisions, right? How do we follow the Spirit? How do we follow the feeling? I think, you know, we'll hear this question again and again this weekend. How do you know this sense is from the Lord and it's not just my feeling, right? Maybe this is one of the questions we have. So we hope that all of our fellowship together can help you, right, to equip you in this matter. Okay, so this year we're covering, you all have the booklet. If you don't have, I think the box is somewhere. But we're covering this topic, the two wills in the universe, okay? And we will be on outline one. This is just an introduction. We'll only cover the first Roman numeral, and our brother will finish the rest tomorrow morning. But I like to start off in this way. When we consider the will of God, actually, I really like, you know, I was thinking, do we say God's will or the will of God? I like the will of God. Amen. It's more full of impact. The will of God. Amen. There is a thing called the will of God in the universe. But I should clarify something from the beginning. Because many times, Christians, maybe even you might have this desire. I want to know what is God's will for me. For me. And I hope that we can clarify. Sometimes God's will for me does not equate the will of God. We're talking about two different things. Of course, we could, hopefully we'll see that we have a part in the great will of God. Amen. And shortly we'll see what is the will of God. Actually, God's will includes you and me. But many times, we just want to know, oh, well, God, help me in this decision, right? Show me what to do. Sometimes we might even have this thought, show me what is on your heart, and then maybe once I see what is on your heart, then I'll choose it if I like it. But I might not like it, right? And so some of these things are inaccuracies, I would say. It's some kind. So we need to be very clear, right? In this universe, there is the will of God. Okay, so I'm going to develop this with the verses from the Bible. I would like you to write these references down, and I'll try to see, because of time, if we could get through all of them. The first one is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. So all of these verses, there'll be some of them are in a group. They all speak on the will of God. Okay, the first set of verses, Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Then Ephesians, same chapter, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And actually, these two are related. Okay, and then after that, Romans 12, 1 to 2. Okay, and then Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Ephesians again, 5, 16 and 17. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 3 and 4. So I might not have time to develop everything, but I just want you to get these verses down. And if I don't touch any set sufficiently, at least you'll have it. And then you could flip to it later and pray over it. And hopefully it will become more clear to you. Okay, the first set of verses. So if you have your Bibles, please, you could turn with me. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Okay, as you're getting it, I'll just, for the sake of time, I'll read it. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, so the key phrase, if you were to underline in your Bible, it would be the good pleasure of his will. And actually, this is a phrase. You'll notice that it's not just God's will, his will, but it's the good pleasure of his will. That means that embodied in God's will is his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? It's what makes God happy. Did you know that? There's something that makes God happy. You know, our God, he is living, he is loving, and he is full of purpose. And such a one needs to have pleasure, right? It should be obvious that such a God, the creator of this universe, would have a good pleasure. You know what's his good pleasure? Well, it's in these verses. His good pleasure is sonship. Amen. And this is why we were predestinated. This is why we were called. This is why we were chosen. It's to be the many sons of God. Amen. Because God's desire from the very beginning when he created us in Genesis 1:26 is that we would have his image, his expression, and his dominion, which is his representation, right? So God wants to, what? Have his life be lived out, be expressed in his many children, the many sons of God. Amen. So if you could ask God, God, what makes you happy? He would say, the many sons, right? Sonship, all of us. So do you have the life of God?
Yes. Amen.
Are you a child of God?
Amen.
Are we becoming mature sons of God?
Amen.
We are in God's will, right? We are fulfilling his good pleasure. Amen. Hope that sinks in a little bit, right? You make God happy. Amen. Maybe tomorrow morning you could look in the mirror, right? You could say, wow, I am I've created because of the good pleasure of his will. I'm here for the fulfillment of his pleasure. It's wonderful. Okay, next set. Ephesians 1, 9 to 10. It's very similar. How about now you have it, right? And you're in Ephesians. Let's read 9 and 10 together.
Heavens and the things on the earth in him.
Amen. So you see here again, right, this phrase, the good pleasure. And this is according, right, there is the mystery of his will, which has been hidden, right, in the ages, but now has been made known to us. And this mystery, right, this will is according to his good pleasure. But there's a development here, and you'll see this in verse 10. What is his will? Actually, his will is to what? Head up all things in Christ. The things in the heavens and the things on earth. To properly understand this, and actually now we'll touch in the outline. Actually, you'll notice that there are two wills in the universe. And so there is the will of God, but then there is also Satan's will. And you see this in Isaiah when he repeatedly, right, declares in rebellion, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the heavens. Satan, in his rebellion, wanted to be worshipped, to be the same as God. And because of that, the whole universe has now fallen into this confusion, right? This rebellious state. And so sometimes we use this phrase, the whole universe is in a heap of collapse. Everything, it's chaos, right? And so this is why God wanted man to what? Represent God, to exercise his dominion over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Amen. And you know how he does that? It's through the church. Amen. It's through the church. The church takes the lead to be what? Headed up in Christ. Amen. And that was this past year's summer school, the truth. The church. Are you part of the church?
Amen.
Are you in the church?
Amen.
So when we say church, you should think of me. Right? Yourself. I need to participate. What? In being headed up in all things. Actually, I'm impressed by this phrase, right? This is what? All things. To head up all things in Christ. So, dear juniors and seniors, what does all things mean? All things means all things. Where am I going to school? What major will I choose? How will the Lord lead me? Where will I live? Will I live in the dorms? Will I live somewhere else? We are being headed up by Christ. And so I hope you see, this is the will of God, right? It's to what? To head up all things in Christ. So hopefully this puts everything into perspective, right? Your decision, very important, but it is in what? In the sphere, in the realm of God's economy. It's in the sphere, it's in the realm of what? Participating, knowing, and doing the will of God.
Amen.
That all things could be headed up. Oh, it would be glorious if we would have a group of seniors who, in their decision-making, headed up by Christ.
Amen.
Not choosing based off U.S. Today ranking, or U.S. News, sorry. U.S. News rankings, or what our college counselor or friends speak to us, what we hear from the world. What if we are headed up in this matter?
Amen.
That would be a glory to the Lord, and a shame to the enemy. Okay. Next set of verses, Romans 12. Let's turn that to, now turn to Romans 12. And once you have it, how about brothers, you could read verse 1, and then sisters, verse 2. Okay.
I adjure you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion.
sisters.
Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect.
Amen. So you see, the will of God. Well, number one, it is good.
Amen.
It is well-pleasing.
Amen.
And it is perfect.
Amen.
So we shouldn't have the thought that, oh, maybe I won't like God's will because it's going to fall short of my expectations. No. The perfect will of God is good.
Amen.
It's perfect.
Amen.
It's not incomplete. I was really touched, and I think we'll develop more of this tomorrow, that in verse 1, you know, there is this matter of the compassions of God, right? And the compassions of God actually include many things, one being His selection, right? His salvation, His choosing of us. You know, when we spend some time and think about all that the Lord has done, oh, we would just be touched, right? On His compassions. It's plural. It's not singular. And it's because of these compassions. You know, when you reflect on your life and all that the Lord has done, this becomes the motivating factor to what? To give ourselves, right? Present yourself as a living sacrifice.
Amen.
And actually, this is a type of consecration. So to know or enter into the will of God, you need to pass through the gate of consecration. Actually, without passing through consecration, you could say it's impossible to really know the perfect will of God. Because without consecration, then it's like you're living your own life. You know, I do me, you do you. God's will. But when we consecrate, that means there's no self. That means there's a handing over. There's a presenting of oneself, right, to the Lord. Maybe your life was going one way to be used in a certain way, but through consecration, it has another purpose, another destiny. This is what consecration means. And so once we give ourselves, once what? We are consecrated, then actually we can know and even prove the will of God. So the will of God requires what? Consecration. And so I hope even through the course of this weekend, even the rest of your senior year or junior year, we can have these conversations with the Lord. Lord, I just give myself to you.
Amen.
I think that actually came out in some of your prayer. Lord, I give my future to you. You know, when we pray these kind of prayers, don't you think the Lord will reveal what is on His heart to you?
Amen.
Right. You know, there's a verse, this is on your outline. Maybe you could just look at the reference. This is under Roman numeral 2, point 6. It's on the second page here, so you have to flip to the back. Point 6 says, we need to have a heart to do the will of God. Our consecration is our response, right, to the Lord moving in our heart, speaking in our heart. And in that verse in John, it says, if anyone resolves to do my will, he will know concerning it. And so God's will is not something like, okay, I'll show it to you, and then after you see it, then you could choose whether or not you like it. You know, the more that you're intimate with someone, the more you know what is deep within their heart. And sometimes to really know the hidden things, right, the secrets of their heart, there needs to be, you could almost say, a mutual trust, right? It's like, you know, before I tell Eldon something deep within my heart, I really want to make sure that Eldon would appreciate it, will want to approve, right? Have a desire to say amen to it. That's what John 7 speaks about. We need to have a resolve. Lord, I want to do what is on your heart. When we have that kind of resolve, that consecration, then actually the Lord can reveal what is on his thought to you. And so this is why, right, consecration precedes the knowing and the proving of the will of God. Okay, how about let's turn to Colossians 1, 9 through 10. Okay, ready? Let's read it together. Therefore, we also,
since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Okay, let's just stop there. Oh, we may be filled. This is another prayer that we can have. Lord, fill me. Isn't this God's economy? Fill me with the full knowledge of his will. So it's not an incomplete knowledge, it's the full knowledge of his will. Lord, I want to know all that is on your heart. I want to know your will. And it's very interesting that after being filled with the full knowledge of his will, there's a response, there's a result, and that's in verse 10, to walk worthily of his calling. To walk worthily of the Lord and to please him in all things. And actually we know that in Colossians is a book on what? The all-inclusive Christ. That means Christ wants to be everything and in all things. And so his will for us to be filled with the knowledge of his will is to bring us into what? The apprehension and the experience and the enjoyment of Christ as everything. Amen. So don't we realize that this is such a higher, right, more loftier understanding of the will of God? How can we say the will of God is only contained on where I would go to school or what I should study, right? Where we see that in Colossians, it's that Christ can be all and in all. He wants to be everything to us. In all our decisions, in all of our aspects of our living, Christ is filling us so that he could be all and in all. So what a high and marvelous understanding of the will of God. Amen. Okay, the last two I'll save after we read parts of this outline. So how about now let's turn to our outline. We already started the two wills in the universe. How about let's read point B all together. Right, so because there are two wills, God's will and Satan's will, there are two issues, right? The first one we'll see from on God's side, his plan. What is God's plan? What is his arrangement? Well, we know from the Bible that God's plan, his arrangement is God's economy, amen, right? So point A, the word economy. Of course, you've heard Many times it is just a combination of the two Greek words, oikos nomia, right? Household law or household arrangement. And this is God's plan to fulfill the good pleasure of his will, right? How will he gain his expression? How will he gain the church, right, as his corporate expression? Well, God has an economy. It's through dispensing. It's through the dispensing of himself as life into us, right? So the more that we enjoy him, the more that we participate in his economy, we are fulfilling the good pleasure of his will. How will you read point B together? God, and this was, right, just coming off of the matter of the church from this year's summer school, we see, right, the goal of God's economy is the church, right? This is something corporate. This is so that God can have an expression on the earth, right? A home where he can reside, right? Are we still living for the church? Right. A month later, are we still having a desire, just like David did, right, to go up to the mountain, to bring wood and build his house? I hope so. I hope that after this past summer, that we really have the view and the goal in front of us, right, that God's economy and my participation is all for what? It's so that God can have his dwelling place. Amen. Do you remember one of the questions that was asked from Isaiah 66? Right, just to remind us all together, where then is the house that you will build for me? I hope that question is still resonating in your being, Amen. Right? Amen. You see the goal of God's economy. God wants, desires, longing for the church. And so he's still asking, where? Jeremy, where's the house? Timmy, Rob, Eldon, where's the house that you will build for me? Right? Where is the place that I could find my rest? God is desirous of a resting place Amen. On the earth Amen. Where he could call his home. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, weren't we touched? Oh, that the Lord, he is yearning, right, for the church, right, for his bride. And so this is the goal, right? So everything is for that, right? God's economy is for that. And so for us all, right, to participate in God's economy is for that, right? It's for the church to be built up. And so even in our considerations, right, you know, where you will be in your future, you know, we should consider, how does that look, right, in the realm of God's economy, right? I should probably go somewhere where I could enjoy the Lord, where I could receive his divine dispensing. You know, we'll probably talk about this actually tomorrow. The full day, we'll have a lot of practical fellowship, right, on choosing, right? There's many different options. For example, one is, what if the place that I want to go to does not have a church life or doesn't have a lot of brothers and sisters? Well, you know what? If you make that choice and you go there, it might affect how much, what? God's dispensing, right? That you will be receiving, right? If you're isolated, if you're by yourself, you're alone. Where you will live, right? The friends you make, right? Actually, we'll talk a lot of all of these things, not just the application process, but even the college life, right? All of these things, actually, you could say, could either advance God's economy or frustrate God's economy, You'll see in the next few outlines, there's like two sets, right? One is on the positive, the encouragement, and then one is words of warning. Don't be afraid of words of warning. Actually, it's a mercy, right, to receive the words of warning so that you would not make the same mistakes, go through the same frustrations that some of us have gone through. So all of this, I hope this whole weekend, right, you could really just see through the glasses of God's economy, right? This is not a college counseling session. Well, it is, but through the lens of God's economy, right? And this is something that you might not get at school unless you have a college counselor that knows God's economy. I think we need more of that in the church life, right? Some of you could study that, right? Become a student counselor. But with what? God's goal in view. Wow, I'll send my children to your school, right, to receive the counseling. So really, brothers and sisters, we really need to have the higher view, right? We need to take the will of God into considerations when we're thinking about all of these decisions and matters pertaining to our future. Okay, now we're going to move to Satan's plan, right? Because there is another will in this universe. Actually, I should point out there's actually three wills. There's God's will, there's Satan's will, and then there's will, the human will. And the human will is a principle. It's something that God cannot force you to choose to follow his will. Actually, he will allow you to make a decision on your own. And, you know, one verse that came to me this week is, I think this is in Revelation. This is related to the church in Laodicea. In Revelation 3, the Lord is likened to a man who's standing right by the door. And I think it's 3:20. Yes, he's standing at the door and he's knocking, right? And it says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in to him. So this is actually, this touches the matter of the human will. Did you know you have the ability to either let the Lord in or leave the Lord out? You know, this knocking is like the knocking in your heart. You know, in these kind of times, or, you know, when you're having personal fellowship, especially over the word, sometimes the Lord is just knocking on your heart. And you need to choose, right, to let him in, to open the door to your heart and let him in. God will never infringe on the sovereignty of your human will. In other words, he will not force you. Matthew Kim, you need to let me in. No, he will not force himself into your heart. But you yourself, when you hear his voice and you hear his knocking, you have to choose. Lord, I open to you. Lord, come in. Come into my heart. And so maybe over the course of this weekend, there's going to be some knocking, right? Maybe you had this desire, this dream, and then in some of the fellowship, oh, it bothers you. Maybe in a way that has never bothered you before. What are you going to do? Will you open the door of your heart to let him in? To at least to have some transactions, right? To converse with the Lord. I hope we learn to do this, right? To open our heart to him. And so this actually is something very powerful. The human will is the deciding factor of whether or not we are for God's will or for Satan's will. But let's come back to point two. Satan's plan and an arrangement in the world. And it's really summarized by this one word, the world, right? And the world, this word, world, in the Bible is defined differently. But tonight, we're just focusing on this point C, letter C, which is what? Satan's scheme, his system, his organization to usurp the place of God in man. And to what? To gain full possession of man. So you could say opposite of God's economy is what? The world. And the world is different to everyone. Each of you sitting here. The world to me is different than the world to you. Maybe I'll just use this as an illustration. In the beginning, I think this happens to maybe almost every college campus. In beginning of the semester, there is a thing, they call it differently from campus to campus, but it's a student organization fair, right? Student involvement fair. And it's the time of the year where all the clubs on campuses, on the campus would come, they set up a table, and they're there, they're passing out flyers, they're inviting people. Where I am, we had a table set up there. And every year, actually, it's getting harder and harder for me to go. Because maybe I could put it this way. It's like a barrage of senses. And actually, it's getting worse and worse because the things that you see, the music that you hear, the conversations that are going on, and it's just hundreds and hundreds of young 18, 19-year-olds, college students, coming together. And, you know, if you ask me to give you a picture of what the world looks like on a college campus, I think that is a good picture. Because anything and everything that you as a college student could participate in, you could find in that area. Yeah. Whether you like sports, you like literature, you like, there's even a Pokemon club. there's board games, there's, fraternities, sororities, there's everything, right? If you like journalism, you could join the school journalism club. There's everything there. The world is on its full display. And I just see, right, the young people, they're just, walking down. And it's really sad because when they then walk past our table, we're trying to bring the meaning of their human life to them. And then by the time that they're there, sometimes I get this reaction. They're like, stay away from me. Because everybody is just, hey, join this. Hey, you want this? Hey, I'll give this for you for free if you leave me your social security number. credit card companies are also there. Yeah. They want to give you a t-shirt. Actually, financially, it's a really dumb idea. And I did that as a college student. Don't do that. Don't sign up a credit card just for a t-shirt. But the point is, so many people are coming at you, trying to shove something into your face, right? And then we're there, we're trying to tell them, oh, God, right, is the meaning of your life. You can enjoy it. There's just, but my point is, do you see that there is a system out there? There is a arrangement, right? There is something contrary to what God wants to do, which is to dispense himself into this human vessel. How can God dispense himself into this human vessel if this vessel is containing so many other things? And sometimes this is kind of what we face on the college campus, right? The students, they're filled, right? They're so occupied, right? Their time has been taken up, right? And there's it's almost like you can't do anything, right? You have to pray for them that, I don't know, through a certain situation, they're shaken up so that there's some opening within them. And I could testify, actually, you know, for many of us who passed through the college years, it's the same, right? I think in freshman year, you know, we just want to see what's out there. We want to try new things, do this, do that. But then after a certain amount of time, you realize, I'm full. I have no more time. I can't be with the saints. Actually, I was talking to someone earlier. Maybe this is a good point. Just as a personal testimony. Even sports. So when I went into college, I was playing frisbee in high school, and I really enjoyed doing that. And so going to college, that was something that I wanted to do as well. And of course, you know, frisbee is not like baseball, basketball. You're not getting a scholarship for that. But I heard some schools now do offer that. That's great. But where I was, there's nothing like that. It was fun for me. I enjoyed doing it with my friends. And so I played on the club level my freshman and sophomore year. But, you know, I had this prayer before the Lord, because at that point in my life, I saw the goal of God's economy. I think I shared this to you during the summer school. You know, I went to the training. I saw that the Lord was after his bride. And I just consecrated myself, my college years, right, for the fulfillment of God's purpose, right, in gaining his bride. And I told the Lord, I don't want anything that would impede or frustrate or get in the way of that goal, right? In the beginning, it seemed like I could manage. But then after a while, the Lord was just touching me that, you know, like I'm like traveling so often. The weekends I'm away, you know, weekend after weekend, you know, playing in tournaments and going to other campuses. And the Lord just started to bother me. And so I had to, you know, just the knocking, right? Knocking on your heart. So I just had to open to the Lord. Lord, what about this? Should I continue? And so eventually I was brought to a point where I felt like I just needed to stop playing competitively. I didn't stop at all. Right? I still played. I love playing with the saints. But the Lord just said, you can't play in that way anymore. And so it was hard because, you know, I've done it for so long. And I enjoyed it. You know, there's some, you know, self-made glory there too. The Lord had to deal with that as well. But the point is, right, we need to be genuine and honest with the Lord. Amen. Especially when it comes to the things in our heart, right? The world is designed to occupy, to possess your heart, to take your time, your energy. Right. It doesn't mean that you can't do it, but if there's something that becomes a form of an idol to take your heart away, right? When you realize, wow, my heart is now, you know, looking at something, someone else, right? Then what? We need to be honest, right? We need to open our heart. Lord, should I continue? Should I be doing this, right? Should I be spending my time on this? I think this is a good moment to bring in Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. I'll just read it. These verses say, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? Understand what the will of the Lord is. But in these set of verses, you see, right? The will of the Lord has to do with what? Our time. Redeeming the time. Seizing the opportunities. Right? You know, you will only have 4 years or however many years you spend. You will only be 19, one time in your life. You cannot go back in time. You will only have that group of friends in your freshman year, right? How will you use that time? How will you utilize that time? And it's very interesting. The Bible uses the word foolish, right? That means the ones who don't understand the will of God, they are called foolish because they didn't understand what the will of God was. And they wasted their time. They didn't redeem their time. And so we don't want you to pass through this and then look back. Oh, I wasted so much of my time. I wish I could have did that in a different way, right? Oh, I lost that opportunity. There was that girl sitting next to me in that bio class, and we had these conversations, and I didn't seize the opportunity. You know, the Lord will place you in classes, in hallways with certain sons of peace, seeking ones, right? And you can redeem your time. Amen. By speaking to them, by testifying to them of the enjoyment you have, right? You could share with them God's economy, right? That God wants to fill your empty vessel. You know, you need to realize this. Once you go to college or wherever the Lord leads you, you're surrounded by empty vessels. Actually, many testimonies of the college students will tell you this, right? You know, people walk around as if they have everything figured out. But actually, if you just spend a little more time with them, and sometimes this happens like in group sessions, study sessions, late at night, you realize, oh man, this person is just in a mess, right? The emptiness is just coming out from them. You know, I had these experiences late at night. You're studying with a group of friends. They're like, what is this all for? You know, all of these like spiritual questions happen at 1 a.m. in the morning. You know, it's like, you know, so what? You know, I graduate, you know, what is it all for? That's your opportunity, right? You could share to them. You could change the course, the trajectory of their human life. How about that? Right? So I hope we would have that view, right? That, you know, we can understand what the will of God is. And we wouldn't be like the foolish ones. Okay. I think I probably should wrap up. The last one, maybe I'll just end with this. I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. These verses show us the will of God. And you know what the will of God is from 1 Thessalonians 4? Your sanctification. Your sanctification. Actually, in 1 Thessalonians 5, you know, we know that God, the God of peace himself, will sanctify us wholly. Our spirit, soul, and body will be made complete, right? This is what God wants to do through his dispensing. He wants to sanctify us, to fully possess us, right? That we would become the same as he is in every way. But it's very interesting because this matter of abstaining from fornication is in the same verse as this matter of the will of God, your sanctification. I think the brothers tomorrow will touch on this, but just put that, right, you know, aside in your mind, right? I would have to say that on the college campus, if God's will is sanctification, the college campus is totally opposite of sanctification. Right. It's like the complete opposite. This is another testimony. I lived in the dorms my first 2 years. And at the end of my second year, I just realized I need to get out of here. You know, the ones that my second year, I actually chose who I would live with. And, you know, you only know people superficially until you actually live with them. Then you realize, oh, they're like this. They have this kind of habit, and they pursue these kind of things. And I just remember, I have these memories, you know, coming home after Friday night meeting, you know, and I was enjoying the Lord. I was filled in spirit. And then I walk into my dorm, and different occasions, you know, one roommate was doing this. Another roommate was doing that. You know, my senses, you know. Anyways, you smell certain things. You're like, okay. You see certain things. You're like, ah. Oh. You know, you're assaulted. And you just feel like, ah, oh, all the enjoyment. I just felt so dirtied. And that just, it just came to a point where I just realized I need to get out, right? And so the next year I just started commuting because at that time there was no corporate living, there was no other arrangement like that. But the point is, right, we need to realize God's will is our sanctification, amen, right? Amen. So when we're in our college years, right, we need to know how to, the following verse says, to possess our own vessel in sanctification. We can make certain choices. Should I be at that place, even at that time, or with those kind of people, right? Is that going to affect my vessel, right? Not just a little defiling. Actually, you could participate in certain things that will have dire consequences. Your vessel will become damaged. And this is the enemy's pernicious attack upon us, right? Upon our human vessel against the will of God, right? So I hope, anyways, over the course of our considerations and even in the future, we will be reminded, right? God's will, right, is for sanctification. Amen. It's our entire being, right, would be fully sanctified. And so that his purpose and his will can be fulfilled. Okay, as a form of conclusion, I promise you this is the last verse. But I really hope that you would take this verse, especially the last line of this verse as your prayer. And this is in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And I'll just read you this verse. This is referring to David. He raised up David for them as king, to whom also he testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man according to my heart, who will do all my will. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope over this course of the weekend, you can spend more time to pray over this verse, especially that last line. Lord, make me one like David, a man according to your heart, a man who will do all of your will. You know, I was so touched when I was spending time in this verse. It's like God is just seeking. You know, he's just waiting. You know, we often say this, right? You're going to be the generation to bring the Lord back, right? To fulfill the good pleasure of his will. But for that to happen, God is looking. God is looking for men. Where are the Davids? Where are the seniors? Where are the juniors? Who would be what? According to God's heart. And who would what? Do all his will. I just hope that you would pray, Lord, make me such. Make me like David. Someone who is after your heart and who would do your will. Okay, I'll end here. Maybe should we just have some prayer? And then I think the brothers can tell us what to do next.